My father and I are big fans of watching YouTube videos where a master or expert in a field rates movie and TV clips that reflect their expertise. Maybe it's a shark expert watching a clip from Jaws or Sharknado to express how realistic it is or isn't, or even a historian commenting on biographical films. But by far, my favorite was when a spear master reacted to various scenes of spear usage in movies and TV shows. Before watching this video, I didn't know much about spears or how they were wielded. But after watching the video, I was hooked. Having played Pathfinder, a Dungeons & Dragons offshoot, ever since I was a kid, the possibilities of such a weapon and the grace in which it is intended to be used, its rich history and occurrence around the world, all of it drew me in like a moth to a flame. And now, after everything that I've learned, I can confidently say spears are the greatest weapon of all time. Hello. And welcome to Jackie On, a podcast where I, Jackie, talk about my opinions on a bunch of different topics. This episode is Jackie On Spears, and how they are a superior weapon, historically, culturally, and practically. But before we get into those three factors, we have to think about what is a spear exactly? This question may not seem like it, but it is contentious. Immediately when thinking of a spear, the image of a sharp, pointy metal head fixed to the end of a long wooden stick comes to mind. Technically, that's not wrong, but many other weapons fit that same definition, a glaive or a scythe, for example. That's because all the weapons that fit under this are pole arms. But what's unique about the spear if it's one of hundreds of different types of pole arms? From a pure appearance standpoint, pole arms can be conceived as any weapon stuck to the end of a stick, whereas spears usually take on an aerodynamic approach and are thinner, like small blades. But that can still get broad, which makes defining a spear in exact terms difficult. Still, the typical spear that we all can find comes in one of three different shapes: the triangle, lozenge, or leaf. Additionally, they can be whittled down to two separate categories: thrusting or throwing. Thrusting spears are the generic spear, used by warriors with armies as weapons with reach, to maintain distance from the opponent. Throwing spears are also called javelins and have been thought to be lighter. Oftentimes, these spears would be thrown from medium to short distances and get embedded in targets. In fact, that is why some spears have little wings at the bottom of their head called lugs. These prevent over-penetration of opponents, making it easier for spears to be taken out and reused, but this is especially true for javelins. Interestingly enough, although there is a distinction made for spears to have use in two different purposes, there isn't any direct evidence that points to lighter and smaller spears being exclusively used for throwing and heavy spears only being used for thrusting. For the most part, any spear had the ability to be used as either form. But most of the time, heavier spears were preferred to thrust, and warriors would hold quivers full of small javelins for throwing. Still, I think the blurring of these lines proves that spears have a lot of versatility that they can offer. The beauty of the spear comes with the capacity for it to be both offensive and defensive. As I've previously mentioned, it is a reach weapon, which means that you can maintain a distance between you and your opponent when using it. But at the same time, when that distance is limited, like in a small space, it can be used more like a staff to ward off attacks. But for the majority of human history, a spear was not used by itself. Most of the time, shields were crucial in making up for any gaps, especially since spears are a relatively thin weapon. It makes it easier to have a shield so that if an opponent tried to attack you, you could block them with the shield. The only real example where spears would be used alone would be expected in martial arts practices or while hunting. And of course, while these usages and experiences differ pretty greatly depending on what geographical region we're talking about, for the most part, spears were used pretty much the same in all continents and all parts of the world. Because they were a weapon that could be created pretty easily, it made it very accessible. Besides that, the spear was the first real weapon and polearm, but really the uniqueness of it lies in the rich history and symbolic importance it has held around the world. Following the spear unlocks a long history of brutal warfare, beauty, and peace. Now, it's important to go into our first section so we can understand just why that might be, by going back in time and looking at the spear through a historical lens. Historians estimate that the majority of weaponry created early on in human history has been lost, simply because they are made from wood, and wood does not really stand the test of time, especially when you consider all the environmental conditions that it has to face to make it throughout centuries. But we can still be sure that they're at least 300,000 or 400,000 years old based on the famous Schöninger spears. These were a collection of 10 wooden spears and throwing sticks found in Lower Saxony in 1995 by Dr. Hartmut Thiem and his team. Looking at the spears, they are perfectly smooth pieces of either spruce or pine wood, now deformed but have thought to originally been straight. They're of differing sizes, but what's really important is that they're sharpened on both ends, which means that they were used probably with a lot of versatility in which ends could be spearing. But what was really crucial is that this was an unusual discovery, and the only reason why these spears were preserved is because of the lakeside sediment in the region. It was able to make sure that this wood didn't actually decay, unlike a lot of other wood, as previously mentioned. But there is one other contender that might take the legacy of the world's oldest wooden spears, and that's the Clacton spear point, which is not a complete spear, but without a doubt, it did belong to a spear once. Discovered in Clacton, Essex in 1911 by Samuel Hazeldine Warren, it was misunderstood as a digging tool at first. Made of yew wood, the spear point appears to be broken off from the shaft and has a slight curve, although when discovered, it was straight. That is because when it was discovered, it had a high water content, and in order to dry it out, the preservers actually ended up making it bend a little bit. Still, the estimates of date place the Clacton spear point at around 420,000 years old. And if that's true, it would make it older than the Schöninger spears, but due to the imperfections in dating this kind of weaponry, there's a chance the Schöninger spears are around 4,000 years older, but we have no real exact knowledge of which one's truly older. The point is, though, spears have been the oldest weapon ever found around the world. But for all intents and purposes, it is clear that the earliest evidence we have any kind of weaponry from humans was in both the form of a spear, making both these discoveries crucial to history and impressive. Now, as a quick side note, I want to say that I do not count tools, like anything that could be used strictly as a tool, as the first weapon. Something like a hoe or maybe even an axe is not necessarily a weapon because it also has a dual use as a tool, whereas a spear can only be used as a weapon. And the only ways in which it would be considered a tool is for hunting, but that's still under the umbrella of weaponry. So I want to make that a quick little aside. But going back to the idea of like the oldest spear, it's doubtful that either of the spears I just mentioned are actually the oldest spear. And that's not just because wood breaks down over time, but because human beings are not the only animals who have been known to wield spears. Crazily enough, Western chimpanzees have been observed to whittle down tree bark into spears and use these weapons to hunt galagos, which are small primates native to sub-Saharan Africa. This goes far beyond throwing rocks or using sticks as clubs. The creation and innovation of chimpanzees to function wood into spears shows that at its core, a spear is the most basic weapon that an animal can create. That brings me to the next section, in which I'll examine the power the spear has, not just because anyone can make it and it's quite accessible, but because it has been uplifted culturally to be a weapon of great significance. Many cultures raise the spear upon a pedestal to the point where it's ingrained in our belief systems. Let me just go over a few ways in which the spear has made such important cultural and religious history. In Hinduism, the spear is considered a weapon of the highest rank, being wielded by the wisest and most power-hungry gods. In Christianity, a spear was responsible for triumph over sin and evil, as the weapon that killed Jesus was a spear. In Islam, a spear serves as a symbol for daily prayer, used to indicate the direction to pray in. In Buddhism, the spear is used to teach important lessons about risk, reward, and pain. In Judaism, spears were utilized to celebrate freedom, urging for both spiritual and military nourishment, as a menorah was created from enemy spears. In Norse mythology, the spear Gungnir is known for its absolute balance, representing its wielder, the king Odin's, complete control. In Greek mythology, spears are heralded as signs of absolute power, as the kings of their domains, Poseidon, Hades, and Zeus, each wield one to enact reign. In Egyptian mythology, spearing is the ultimate symbol of triumph over evil, used to fight off the agent of chaos Apophis and the god of war. In Ararat Mongolian mythology, the spear served as a powerful symbol for revenge, heavily featured in the Epic of Jangar. In Irish mythology, spears were legendary weapons wielded by only the most heroic, with the ability to always overcome opponents. In Shinto belief, the spear was the force behind creation and was used by gods to create the first land on Earth. As you can see, in most belief systems around the world that have guided us and gave us our ideas of morality or even our sense of storytelling, the spear has served as a central focus. But not only in the belief systems that guide us, spears have also been able to inspire interesting thought experiments. One of particular relevance is the shield and spear paradox. One of its origins can be found in 3rd century Chinese thought from a book called Han Feize, written by Han Fei. It's laid out like a story. A man is selling a shield that cannot be pierced by anything and a spear that can pierce anything. A different man asks him what happens if someone tries to use the spear to pierce the shield. The seller wasn't able to answer the question, and thus the idea of the immovable object versus unstoppable force was proposed. This is one of the earliest examples of a paradox or contradiction. In fact, the words for contradiction in Chinese are rooted in the same words for shield and spear. But even more than that, this concept is a renowned one in popular culture. And while it can be taken at face value as a simple example of a paradox, one must wonder, why a shield and a spear? Arguably, these weapons were chosen above all else because of the power that a shield has in blocking and the power a spear has in piercing. That may sound very simple, but a wall can also block, and a sword can also pierce. In choosing a shield and a spear, Han Fei effectively suggests two things. One is that by using simple and known weapons, he hopes to make the principle universally understood. Two is that he believes only a spear and a shield could be believed to hold so much power. The cultural remnants that explain to us the power a spear can have, how its versatility is not to be underestimated, are all around us, whether we see them metaphorically or straight up in examples. Which brings me to the last section, discussing the practical appreciation of the spear. The beauty of the spear is contained by the fact that all could have one, but few could truly wield one. Because of the saturation of spear users, as again I've mentioned, is a very accessible weapon, those who can really wield a spear undoubtedly shine. To commit a great deed with a spear, one must work harder than someone with a great axe or a halberd. A weapon so grand makes up for its user's shortcomings. The same cannot be said about a spear. To this end, an average spearman is bound to be greater and more powerful than an average swordsman. To wield a spear is to have your hands on the ultimate seat of power in a placement of excellence, standing on the pedestals of humanity high above the rest. A spear wielder, not haver, must have strength, accuracy, and fortitude. I'd argue that these traits are gained solely through the use and maintenance of a spear. How else would someone instill the values of a spearman? It's no coincidence that in many martial arts, the starting block is learning how to wield a spear. Learning the principles of movement, discipline, and restraint are generally key. That much is clear. The spear best represents these principles and teaches them early on to students, giving them something concrete to gain hold of. Just as that, it is a starting block for all civilizations, bridging the gap between tools for hunting and weapons for warfare. No other weapon has been able to permeate through all planes of human existence other than the spear. In survival, in sport, on the battlefield, on the ground, in the sea, the only weapon that might rival this is the gun, but the gun is simply a copier of the spear's prestige. Look at the spear gun, only shepherded in to find a way to make the spear more effective via launching it. Or look at the bayonet, a way to perfect the art of fighting from both the distance and close up. The spear was influential to both of these influences, as if saying that shooting a little pellet is not enough. You need to shoot a spear if you're going to shoot anything. As a weapon, the spear is the sole one that has been around with us throughout and despite all that humanity has undertaken. It is a weapon that has not yet lost its relevance despite the technological age we find ourselves in. And for those reasons, it is clear that the spear is a superior weapon. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Jackie On. I hope that you are as much a fan of spears as I am, now that you've learned exactly what makes them so great. And I will see you in the next episode.